Breakfast Beat on 91.3 FM. Your voice in the morning.
9 minutes after 7 a.m. is where we're at this morning. If you've just joined us, welcome into it. Nice to have you with us. We move along now to our next feature. Now, 200 workers from Pick and Pay are currently engaged in a labor dispute with several labor broker companies over their current working conditions. Now, we know that the issue of labor broking in South Africa is a very contentious issue, and trade unions have long called on labor broking to be scrapped, as it is apparently an unwarranted middleman adding no value to the employment relationship. So this particular case that we're speaking about of the 200 Pick and Pay workers came before the CCMA yesterday. Nazima Mohammed, who is representing these workers, will be joining us now. We have invited Pick and Pay to come on air. However, they did not respond in time. But joining us online now, Labour Law Advisor Nazima Mohammed. Assalamu alaikum. Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Assalamu alaikum to shukran for having me.
Only a pleasure. Now, of course, looking at this particular case, you know, what exactly, is this dispute in relation to? Is it basically, you know, just in terms of current working conditions, or is there more to it?
Oh, no, there's much more to it. These workers are not organized into a trade union at all. They, in fact, contacted an advice office who then contacted me and asked me if I could intervene. And then I had a meeting on an open field with the 200 workers close to the distribution center in Philippi, where they are all working. And I was quite taken aback when I listened to their stories, and they have several stories. But the main issue and the contentious issue to me, and that is why I intervened, even though I don't have legal standing because it's not a trade union, it's an advice office, I decided to, you know, give them advice and to assist them with the arbitration that's already been referred to the CCMA. Now, the contentious issue relates to the fact that there are four labor brokers involved at this distribution center where these workers are working. What shocked me is that, one, there isn't only one labor broker, it's four. And most of the workers have 10-year service, 12-year service, 7-year service. It's not like they're working for a month or two and then off they go. They are working there for many, many, many years. And they are not employed by Pick and Pay. They're working for Pick and Pay. They're working at Pick and Pay's distribution center. And sometimes they've even got to wear badges or sign documentation that claims they are Pick and Pay workers. And then those documents just get destroyed thereafter. From a legal point of view, how they're covering themselves, they deeming these workers to be employed by the labor brokers. Now, the stories all vary. They say they are recruited. It's all verbal. There's no written contracts that these workers are given. Everyone earns different wages, so they've got a range of issues that the CCMA needs to assist them with.
Sure.
One, they don't have contracts. Two, they have very long services. Three, their salaries often differ. Even though they're doing the same work, some people will be taking home different wages. So there's clearly even a wage discrimination issue that they're dealing with. So it's no contracts, long lengths of service. They, unfortunately and sadly, also being paid very low wages. So technically and in terms of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, they are regarded as vulnerable workers because they're earning below the threshold. Now, I think I'm speaking under correction. In 2018, there was a constitutional court decision that involved a trade union, NUMSA. And there, you know, there was a decision on labor broking, even though labor broking isn't outlawed and banned.
Which brings me to ask, Nazima, you know, in South Africa at this present moment, what are some of these laws regarding labor broking?
Labor broking, because we live in a capitalist society, you know, a lot of these issues aren't completely regulated in terms of legislation. So a labor broker is an entity that exists. It can recruit workers. and they can almost, like a slave trade, they can sell those workers or the workers' labor to a client. Mm. So they have a contract that exists between themselves and the client. They make the workers available to the client. So the client doesn't technically employ these workers. They're just borrowing or lending, you know, these employees from the labor broker. So it's like a very modern day slavery type situation. It's like you work for VOC, but if you were employed through a labor broker, then you have nothing to do with VOC. Mm. You know, you work at VOC. Mm. VOC doesn't pay your wages. They pay your wages to the labor broker, and the labor broker will then take a portion of your wages and pay you the rest.
Mm.
You don't have real conditions of employment, and even if you want to go on strike or you want to take them to the CCMA, you can't take the VOC to the CCMA. You've got to take the labor broker. So it's like a whole, like, it's very muddied waters.
Sure.
And what I think, you know, irritates COSATU and all trade unions and people involved in labor, it's that it is a kind of modern-day slavery. It takes away any power or any real relationship, an employment relationship between yourself as an employee and the employer. Technically, in terms of, you know, our thinking and even the thinking of the courts, is that are there dual employment relationships between Pick n Pay and the worker and the labor broker? So who really technically is the employee, the employer? Now, what we're doing, we are again going to be challenging Pick n Pay. We want the CCMA to rule that Pick n Pay is actually the employer, failing which, the advice office is thinking of taking this matter also to the Constitutional Court, because they're not working for 3 months or less than 3 months. They're in fact working more than 3 months for Pick n Pay, and they're earning below the threshold. Now, in terms of the Constitutional Court case, they are supposed to be deemed to be employees of Pick n Pay. Now, Pick n Pay hasn't even attended the arbitration, even as an interested or affected party yesterday. They just absented themselves. And what is sad, I mean, I don't want to sound racist because I'm not, but I like to be very direct about issues.
Sure.
Because when you skirt issues, you never ever solve problems in society. When I sat in the room, you know, opposite these labor brokers,
yes,
90% of them are white, Afrikaner and Englishmen. And, you know, and on the other side of the table where I was sitting, it's all African black poor workers. And you look at the scenario and you ask yourself, we struggled hard to bring about change in the country, and here you sit in a room with rich people on the one side,
yeah,
selling labor to an extraordinarily rich, you know, retail company, and the workers just have no rights. And that is why, you know, I agreed to step in and assist the workers.
Now, Nazima, I'm just trying to wrap my head around this. I mean, a little earlier on, you alluded to the court ruling some 2 years ago, basically stating that after a period of 3 months, the client or the real employer becomes the only employer and not the labor broker. So how is it that in the space of 2 years, we're still having this discussion?
Well, that is amazing. It's similar to you know, discrimination cases. People still discriminate, and yet the laws are there to protect working people. The Constitutional Court case is there to protect, you know, workers from labor broking. But it shows the attitude that exists in our society, that even though there are laws in place, employers will break them, and you need to then, you know, step forward as a worker or as a trade union and take the matter again through the necessary procedures and end up in court. It's just, I don't know, it's human nature. It's just how things work. But I think when it involves money and profit, then I think the employers are far more bold and they run their businesses.
Mm.
I can, to some extent, you know, understand why they do it. In South Africa, even though we have institutions in place and laws in place, it's our enforcement in these institutions that's very, very, very weak. And that is why the employers, because they're rich, they're bold, they do what they do. And unfortunately, these workers are not even in a trade union.
Sure. Now, just to understand, going forward, you know, what sort of remedial action is your party seeking in this regard?
Well, we want to firstly have the CCMA listen to our argument, rule, you know, in line with the Constitution, and hopefully, you know, rule that these workers are working for pick and pay. That is what the workers want, because then they can have the contracts, they can have benefits, the leave and all those kind of arrangements can then be properly in place. Failing which, we will take the matter to the Constitutional Court and challenge it further. And we're hoping, you know, that other entities, other trade unions will also step up and assist in the matter, because I think another decision and a harsher decision will be in the interest of most working people in the country. The labour broking issue needs to be brought to a head, and it needs to end.
Having mentioned the Constitutional Court, you know, are there decisions in terms of labour brokering from the Constitutional Court side? What do they think of it?
Well, the Constitutional Court decision, there were three judges sitting in there, sort of a split decision. But the thinking is one that labour brokers can exist, but under certain conditions. And they sort of spelled out the conditions that if you recruit workers and you make these workers available to a client, then you, as a labour broker, you the employer. However, if they exceed a certain amount of time working for the client and they earn below the threshold, then the client becomes the employer. Mm. So there is a bit of assistance, a bit of breathing space for employees. But I mean, even that kind of Constitutional Court ruling can be manipulated, it can be used. And if workers, for example, are working for, let's say, less than 3 months, and they let go of these workers and they take new workers, they can play this game and forever keep these vulnerable workers as employees of the labor broker. And it cuts the employee out of all the legal requirements in terms of BCA, because the labor brokers don't really respect the laws in the manner in which they ought to. Now, the reason, really, openly speaking, why we anti-labour broking, it's because, one, it is like a slave, you know, owner who rents the human being out to somebody else. That is really what it is, you know.
So going forward, in terms of the actual process and the timeline, perhaps, you know, what can we see in the forthcoming weeks, Nazima?
Well, I have to submit a written argument to the CCMA, because what happened, 100 workers stepped forward and the matter was referred to conciliation and to arbitration. And then later, another 100 and odd workers stepped forward. So the cases were separated. Now what we're wanting, we've applied to the CCMA to have the cases joined so that there can be one commissioner presiding over one matter. However, all four labour brokers submitted a separation argument to the CCMA, because they want every labour broker who employs their little bit of employees to, you know, alone appear before the commissioner. Now, Workforce Group, PrimeServe, and the other labour brokers, they don't want to all be joined as combined labour brokers. They want their individual workers and the individual cases to be heard. I argued in front of the commissioner that it doesn't make sense to have four different cases in front of four different commissioners at the CCMA on four different dates. Because what if every commissioner makes a different decision?
Yes, yes.
It doesn't make, you know, legal sense. So we submitting our argument by close of business on Monday coming. And then there will be a ruling whether the commission will join these cases. Oh. And if they decide to join, they will reschedule the matter probably into 2020 for us to submit legal arguments before a commissioner.
All right.
And and then we'll probably you know, the outcome of our submission.
All right. Well, Nazima, thanks so much for giving us a heads up, as well as, you know, sharing with us on this particular issue. And I'm sure as time goes by, we'll be keeping a close eye on this matter. But we thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks to you.
Bye-bye. Salaam, bye. And that was Labour Law Advisor Nazima Mohammed speaking to us this morning.